is constantly trying to influence us to live consistently with him so that his blessings can be manifested in every area of our lives. But at the same time, then Satan is trying to steal our hearts and our minds away from God. And we are in an all-out battle. Yes. And he is in an all-out battle against the Lord and his kingdom. And all you just need to do is see with your natural eyes and hear and see with your spiritual ear that the enemy is pouring all the trash and corruption that he can into our lives. But it's up to us to guard our hearts with all diligence, because out of it come the issues of life. In one particular way that I want to talk to you about on this morning and bring to your attention is one way that the enemy does that is through worry. Through worry and doubt. And conversations with people, with family and friends, and just people in general throughout the course of this week, even amongst the saints of God. He is just waging that, the enemy, when I say he, is just waging that all-out battle against the hearts and minds of God's people. But there's something that I heard earlier this morning, and I believe that Pastor Doris said it, and I won't quote it, but this is just a general rephrasing of what she says. God would not ever ask us to do anything that he has not already given us the grace to do. And I have to say that again, that God would never ask us, command us, tell us to, direct us to do anything that he has not already given us the grace to do. So he said to be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. God has given us that grace to handle every situation and circumstance in life. So in this message on this morning, I just want to spend a few minutes focusing on something that many of us have been victims of more times than we can even count. I just want to spend a little time this morning talking about worry. And the reason that we worry, I believe, is because we don't experience the peace of God in our lives. Yeah, and again, it is the devil who is fighting to try to gain control of your heart and your mind, because he knows that once he controls the mind, he controls the person. And whatever it is that we allow to occupy and hang around in our minds will begin to eat into our lives and affect the fiber of our character as being the righteousness of Almighty God. And then we ultimately become the things that we constantly think about. The Bible is very clear. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So the peace of God is the rest and contentment that comes out from God. But it has its origin in God alone. Peace comes only from God. But all of us, from time to time, we have a tendency to worry about things, both large and small, do we not? In all of those times that we spent worrying, we didn't realize that we were actually sinning. I didn't, when I first read that scripture way long time ago, and here I am worrying about stuff, and then I'm reading the Word of God, say, oh my God, I'm actually sinning. Here I am trying to live a holy, righteous, sanctified, consecrated, dedicated life to the Lord, and here I am concerned about this and that and the other thing and all of that, thinking I'm living for the, and I am, was living and am yet living for the Lord, but I was actually, that was unbeknownst sin. Yes, worry is sin. But worry is just as much a sin as murder and stealing and fornication or adultery or lying or anything else that is outside the will and the character of God. So that's why worry is a sin, because worry is outside the will and the character of God for your life. So one of the things that we're going to have to do is get rid of that generational curse. That generational curse of worry. And although worry is a sin, sometimes I believe that it's just taken too lightly. That's why the Apostle Paul, he sent this message to the church at Philippi, to those people of Philippi. He didn't want them to make themselves sick through worry. He wanted them to experience the peace of God. And I want to tell you this morning, people of God, the Lord does not want you to worry yourself sick through worry. He wants you to experience the wholeness, the soundness, and the wellness of Almighty God. If you would go back and look at the etymology of that particular word worry, the word worry means to strangle or to injure. So actually, when you're worrying, you're really strangling yourself and you're doing yourself great bodily harm. You are injuring yourself. And it means to have a feeling of distress, a feeling of trouble, or a feeling of uneasiness. Worry, listen to this, is a distracting care. So cast all of those distracting cares upon the Lord, because it is the Lord who cares for you. So when we worry, people of God, then we become so engrossed in caring for a thing or a person that we become distracted from other things of value. You've heard that old expression. We've heard it for years. You know, you're straining a gnat and swallowing a camel, and that is true. Worrying about the just so many insignificant things that are going on, all the major things that we should really be in tune to, being watchful for, we let them just slip by us. And worry moves our minds to what is, to what has been, and what is not yet. And worry is just a devastating tool of the devil, because it limits our achievements and drains us of our capacities for all the good that God has prepared for us from the foundation of the world. So when you're worrying, well, many of us are multitaskers, and many of us are not multitaskers. But when we worry, we cease to pray and praise God, and we therefore don't experience the peace of God when we're worrying. Love this old this example, and you've seen it a few times, you know, and I use it every now and then with just people in general. Okay, pat your head and rub your stomach at the same time. Can't do the two things. You have to concentrate on one or the other. So you can't worry and think about the blessings of Almighty God. And if you can do that at the same time, see Pastor Doris. She's got a crisp $500 bill for you. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Right, hot off the press. Yeah. Right off the press. That's right. Right off the press. $500 bill straight. Praise God. Amen. You see, worry is one of those things that can rob you of your appetite. You know, when you're worrying, you can't eat. You know, it will rob you of your physical health, your emotional health, and it will even rob you of your rest and your recreation. And all it does is just rob you of the peace of God. Yeah. And worry, I've observed this, and I know that and understand it, that it doesn't solve tomorrow's problems, but it can empty you and sap the strength that you need for that day. If you're worrying about things, again, God has given us the grace to be careful and to be anxious for nothing. So the command here is to not worry. And Paul was telling every reader that would read here in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, to not under any circumstances worry about anything. So as we continue to read, and as we consider this verse, I believe that Paul was suggesting that there are things in life that we encounter that can cause us to worry. But he didn't want any child of God, including you and me, to ever worry about anything. I was thinking about this on last night, and just thinking about, you know, some of the old songs from the church. And I remember a particular, you know, song, and the words of that song was, "The Lord will make a way somehow. When beneath the cross we bow, he will take away each sorrow. Let him have your burdens now." That was written by a writer. His name was Thomas Dorsey. "So I know beyond a shadow of a doubt," amen, "the Lord will always make a way somehow." And I'm reminded of that Sermon on the Mount when Jesus was teaching his disciples about worry. And he taught his disciples not to worry about their circumstances in life. In fact, we know that scripture in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. And he exhorts them, and he's exhorting us now, to not be concerned about worldly things. Now we're building on something here. In verse 25, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment?" Yes. And then in verse 28. So he taught the disciples not to worry about what they should even wear. Verse 28. "And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin." And then down to verse 31. Jesus taught his disciples not to worry about what they wear, what they should eat, and what they should drink. Here it is, verse 31. "Take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed?" As you go on and read down there a little further down in verse 34, Jesus taught his disciples to not even worry about the future. Don't worry about the future, people of God. Now, here's the breaking news for you on this morning. The future has enough problems of its own, people of God. Jesus didn't want his disciples to worry about anything in this life because there is nothing in this life that is of eternal value. Amen. He didn't want his disciples, and he doesn't want us, to become tied up in knots and become nervously exhausted over things that will not ever determine our salvation. Listen to this. To worry is to yield to Satan. I'll say that to you again. To worry is to yield to Satan. Here in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 in the King James Version says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." So what is Peter saying? Peter is saying that we should trust the wisdom and the works of God. In other words, we're not to become overly concerned about anything in life. Overly concerned. Yes, you may have some concerns, but overly concerned, don't do it. It's a sin. Because when people worry, I believe it's a sign that they have a sense of inadequacy when they worry. Yeah, when we feel like we're incapable of doing something or incapable of handling any certain situations, we worry. Just think about your own life. "Well, I don't know how I'm going to do that. I can't do that. I have no way. I have no idea. I don't have anything, no direction, anything from the Lord." And then you begin to worry about those things. That is prime. You are prime fertile ground for the enemy to come in now and build on that thing and build and build and build and build on it until it becomes so unbearable that it affects you spiritually, mentally, and emotionally, and physically as well. We have so many other obligations in life as people of God that we need to master. So why should we spend our time trying to marry that demonic tool of worry? So it's up to you. It's up to me. That rather than worrying, we just need to recognize that the responsibility, listen, for our lives is God's. Hallelujah. If we are worrying, we are taking into our own hands what should be left in the hands of Almighty God. Look at Philippians here, chapter 6, the B portion of, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 in the B portion. And this is what it says. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So the Lord has given us that command to pray. So, what Paul was telling the church of Philippi here, the Philippians, that if they were going to ever experience the peace of God, then they must not worry. But then he also gave them that solution to the sin of worry. And here it is right here. So the best alternative, the best solution to the sin of worry, people of God, is prayer. And I understand and I know Pastor Doris said so very eloquently earlier during our corporate prayer. He said, you know, the evil day comes. And if you're not right with God, every day will be an evil day. But when you know the Lord and know that you are more than a conqueror, doesn't matter what the enemy would send your way, as long as you are clothed in the whole armor of God, you will be able to stand against every trick, tactic, plan, device, fiery dart, any other demonic, satanic, devilish, cultish thing that the enemy would ever be able to send your way. And I love the scripture here in Psalm chapter 55, verse 22. Write this scripture down. This is what the Lord says. Amen. He says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Hallelujah. I love that scripture. Amen. Hallelujah. When you cast your burden upon the Lord, he will keep you, he will sustain you, and he will never suffer you because you are the righteous to be moved or to be made ashamed. So in this particular verse here, people of God, I believe that God was telling David to transfer his burdens over to him. And you know David was the man back then. But David had a few burdens too. And the Lord said, David, I know you're all that. But listen, all those burdens and cares that you got, come on, just bring them to me right here, sonny boy. I can handle that for you. He was telling David to shift things that were weighing on his shoulders over to him. And I believe right now, because of this message, I've been hearing it, that a shift is taking place in your life right now. But you have to help out with that shift that's coming in your life. Every worry, every care, every burden, shift it over to the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, and I believe even in that same way that our Heavenly Father God and the Lord Jesus and the Holy Ghost is trying to relieve us of all those pressures that we have in life. But there are times when we just hold on to those burdens so tightly that he can never ever have access to them. Well, I'm just going to keep this for myself because I can't give this to the Lord. This is just my thing. And after all, you know, we just have some of those idiosyncrasies and some of those pet worries that we just have to hold on to. Please don't be one of those people of God, that just have to hold on to every negative thing that you're confronted with us with. Because God wants us to relax our grip on our burdens that we are carrying and roll them over onto him. And God promises in his word to sustain us. Right. We've heard for the last several weeks two things. God said, I will. He's given us his oath and he's given us his promise. Amen. And it's up to us to stand and hold on to everything that God said he would do for us in his word. So then, if we want to experience the peace of God, one of the things that we need to do is to learn how to pray more and make supplication about everything. Amen. Now listen to this. So it is my mindset, it is my thought that if it's worth having, it's worth praying about, people of God. And if it ain't worth having, don't pray about it. For the word that we say, we read here, everything means individually, it means each and all. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Lord, I thank you right now for this and for that and for moving and working in your supernatural hand of God, your gracious hand of favor moving in every area of my life. And Lord, I want to thank you for that even in advance. But in everything by prayer. The word prayer suggests that we have to communicate with God. That means talking to God about our specific needs and our wants and our desires. Prayer is presenting our desires or our wishes to God. And right here, I think that God is really telling us what we need to do to have those prayer requests answered. So I have a question for you. Then what would you have God to do for you? Just think about that. What would you have God do for you, people of God? Well, now that you've had just a nanosecond or two to think about that. So then if you are to experience the peace of God in your life, then we have to put our dependence upon God the Father and expect him to do what he promised, because he's given us his promise. Yeah. Yeah. Everything we do, do it with thanksgiving. Because thanksgiving looks back on the past to all those prayers that the Lord has answered for you. And to give thanks because God has worked in a similar situation in your life before. And as we used to hear from the old church, if he did it for somebody else, bless God, he's got the strength, the power, the ability, and the know-how to do it for you as well. Hallelujah. Verse 7 here in Philippians chapter 4. This is the promise. Here's the promise. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, this is where we have to get beyond the natural. And we have to see the invisible. We have to see things in the supernatural realm. Because in this promise, God offers something that human intelligence cannot even comprehend. God promises this, and he says that the person who is surrounded by trouble can live with peace in his soul. Even in the midst of things that could break an average person's spirit, we can experience the peace of God. We can, boldly, that word can, I'm speaking it with that bold so that it jumps out. We can experience the peace of God because we can cast everything that would cause us to worry over on God. Regardless of that situation, we can just pass it over to God, and guess what? He can handle it. Good news, people of God. Hallelujah. We don't have to carry our burdens ourselves anymore. We can transfer them right over to the Lord. And listen to this good news. God welcomes the opportunity to bear our burdens. You know how it is with some people, you know, and you say, well, I don't want to burden you with this problem. So go talk to the Lord. Well, I don't want to burden the Lord with that. He's too busy doing other. Yeah, you're right. He's really busy doing other things, amen, that I have on my prayer list. But I think he can squeeze in some time for you if you would just take your burdens to the Lord. So when we come to the point of not worrying, we can experience the peace of God. And when we learn how to pray and make supplication to God, we can experience the peace of God in our lives. So the Apostle Paul said here, he said the peace of God would stand guard over our hearts and our minds. That word peace, it means the sense of rest and contentment. And it suggests security and safety. Hallelujah. Yeah. That word peace means the sense of rest and contentment. So when you have the peace of God, amen, you are resting and you are content that God is going to do what he promised you in his word. And that word guard here is a military word. It's a military term that means to protect. It means either to prevent hostile invasion or to keep the inhabitants of a besieged city from flight. This word means by watching. Watching. God is always watching. He is constantly and alertly and actively watching over his word to perform it on your behalf. That comes from Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 23. In the paraphrase, again, I'm going to say it. On your behalf, people of God, God is constantly and alertly and actively watching over his word that he's promised to you so that he can fulfill his word and his oath. And he wants to perform all that he has prepared for you from the foundation of the world. He wants to perform it on your behalf. As I close it out this morning, hallelujah. The rest and the and contentment of God will stand guard over your heart and mind to keep everything away from you that will rob you of the peace of God. It is the peace of God that keeps everything that would cause us to worry from reaching our hearts and our minds. No. We've got this special in our backyard. It's a, you know, it's like a bug zapper. And you know, the normal conventional bug zapper, when bugs are drawn to it and it attracts bugs and flying mosquitoes and insects and all of those things, you'll hear it go, zap, and you know it's doing its job. But we have a particular one that's really silent and it has a fan in it. And if you're very quiet, you can hear the fan, just you know, you can hear the fan just whirring a little bit. And it's got a real low ultraviolet light in it. And it's got a big pan at the bottom of it. And it just whirls and whirls and whirls. And sometimes, you know, when I'm out in the backyard, I'll walk out and look at it. And I can look, it just draws all of these insects. And once they get in there, they can't get out. They're just flying around and they're just, you know, they're trying to get out and they can't get out. And I just say, well, the bug zapper, I thank you that you are watching over us and that you are guarding us. The Holy Spirit. He's our negativity zapper. He's our worry zapper. Yes, hallelujah. God's peace is your bug zapper. It is your insect repeller. It is your sunblock. It's everything that you need because it will stand guard over your heart and mind and keep everything away from you that will rob you of the peace of God. Yeah. So the point of what I'm saying to you today is this, people of God. I want you to see the seriousness of anxiety and worry. Now just take a moment or two and think about a few situations and circumstances that you would love and that you want to give over to the Lord. I'm sure that you too, as well as I know, people who suffer greatly because of anxiety and worry. Why do they suffer from that? Because they simply lack the peace of God. But this charge of scripture that Paul has given to us that comes from the Lord is just so forceful. Because he says, be anxious for nothing, not even for a single thing. Write these scriptures down. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, 7 in the Message Bible. It says, don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. And before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Now, I want you to picture this scene. Now, here we are. We're walking throughout life every day. But as we're walking and journeying through life every day, we're sharing with God every step of the way. Right. And Lord, I'm giving this to you. Lord, I'm casting this care over on you. Lord, I have your oath and your promise. Lord, I'm trusting in the immutability of your word. Lord, I thank you for taking care of this situation. On every step of my journey on this day. If you would do that, if you would just do that, what then can take the peace of God away from you? Well, the answer is absolutely nothing. For as we walk in prayer and as we stay in fellowship with the Lord, God will continue to infuse you with his presence and with his peace.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you would like to support this ministry, consider giving online. Text keyword RWOLFC to 77977 or through our free app. Search R Wolf C in the App Store. For more information, visit www.rwolfc.com for articles, blog posts, message references, and our monthly calendar of events.